Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast on this 7th of August, 2018. I'm your host, Cyril Gerald Quinn, discussing, as always, the world of sports and pop culture. This broadcast, of course, is on my YouTube channel. We will also be putting it on Blog Talk Radio, probably dropping sometime early tomorrow morning or even afternoon. I would say the morning time. So be on the lookout for that. To my Facebook page and other platforms like Instagram and Twitter. Again, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at William Juro, or go to my Facebook page, Instagram page at Rillo Juro Quinn. Lot to talk about here on a August night. A lot going on in the world of sports and pop culture. And rarely do we ever begin with pop culture, but you know what? We're going to begin with pop culture because I saw a couple of articles that just grabbed my attention. I just couldn't, help but to lead with these two particular women in terms of Serena Williams and Beyonce Knowles Carter. Beyonce has an article in Vogue where she had the photographer, first time an African-American photographer has shot the cover of Vogue. And basically, Beyonce was talking about her body and just how much, she went through in regards to her pregnancy, getting a C-section, the physical strain, the mental strain, the toll that it took on her body, took on her birth personally and mentally. As one could imagine. And, she breaks down just how vulnerable she was at that point. And I think that it's a lesson here in terms of people assume that wealth and stardom equals just this perfect life. And I just don't, that's just not how it is. Like, people with money have problems too. Celebrities, they are human beings as well. They deal with the same stuff. They deal with the same stuff that we, ordinary people, nobody really is ordinary, but that the everyday person deals with. And I think that gets lost a lot when you look at the lives of a celebrity, especially somebody like Beyonce or Serena Williams. Serena Williams, and I'm not done with Beyonce, but Serena Williams dealt with basically postpartum depression. If you remember, she lost a woman in final in straight sets, and she got smoked last week by some girl that I wasn't even paying attention to the match, but she had the most lopsided loss of her respective career, her Hall of Fame and Greatest of All Time career. And she really, in that article, and this was in USA Today, really talked about the idea of just not feeling like she was a good mother. And not feeling like she was doing her part as a mother, and it threw her off, and it's continually has thrown her off in terms of with her tennis. She's trying to find that balance of motherhood and being the greatest tennis player of all time, and being who she is, and trying to find that happy medium. In both of these articles, in terms of Beyonce and Serena, a level of vulnerability, there's a level of authenticity that you just can't manufacture. You can't make this up. These, I've never met Beyonce, never met Serena, but you can just sense why they are who they are in terms of why they've reached their status. And it's not just about talent. It's not just about genetics or physical ability. Like again, allowing yourself to be vulnerable, allowing, being, introspective, being challenging yourself and really evolving as a person has allowed them to stand the test of time. I mean, think about it. Think about what Beyonce, think about how long Beyonce. Think about how long Beyonce and Serena have been in the public eye. And this is not normal celebrity. Like, Beyonce was famous basically at 15. I think Destiny's Child was a long time ago. She's basically had, three careers. Had the Destiny's Child career, the Beyonce solo act career, and now the Beyonce slash Jay-Z part of her life, that career. Serena Williams won the US Open at the age of 17, 1999. It'll be 20 years next year. Again, was known, people knew about her when, she's 10, 11, 12 years old, growing up in, on the tennis courts of Compton, California, with Richard Williams and Venus Williams, and the whole, that whole deal and what she dealt with growing up, and in the unconventional way that she went about becoming, the greatest tennis, the greatest, one of the greatest athletes of all time, greatest, in my opinion, the greatest female athlete of all time. And in the conversation of greatest athletes in general, male or female of all time. So both of these careers have happened basically in the same time frame when you think about it. I think Destiny's Child first album was 99. No, it was 90, 97, 96 and 97. I want to say 96, 97-ish. And again, these two remarkable women, again, continue to evolve and continue to allow, they continue to allow you to see them in moments of weakness. I shouldn't say weakness, but moments of vulnerability, moments of just, I'm a human being too. All the money, the fame, the everything you think is right about my life. You just don't know. You really don't know. Again, I deal with the same stuff that you're dealing with month to month, day to day. I struggle too. So that to me, again, that it takes a lot of courage to open yourself up that far, open yourself to that, to the public, to the world. Because I mean, again, I understand that everybody thinks they know everything about Beyonce or about Serena Williams, but they don't have to tell us that. They didn't have to share. They don't have to share these types of, I don't want to say down periods in his life, down periods in their lives, but they don't have to share these types of struggles. They don't. They can just go about their business and continue doing, living their lives and keeping it moving. But I think these are stories of inspiration. These are stories of just hope. And finally, I found it personally, stories, two stories of just, if I said inspiration, I'll say it again, just inspiring. I found that I definitely reading both of these articles. I put the Beyonce article, which is by Vogue, on my Facebook page. It's a quick read, just, quick read. Again, a lot, she's basically breaking down stages of not her career, but, breaking down parts of her life. The Coachella talks about other things. Again, she went deep into, heavy into detail in terms of the birth of her twins, and how that has shaped her, up until this day. So check them out. Again, two of the greats at in terms of their respective fields, and two of the most talented, decorated artists that we've ever seen. Showing you that, a humane side to humanity that, maybe that we should have already known about, but if you didn't know, you now definitely will know at this point. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the Real Deal podcast. As we go through an August that, a lot of training camp talk, a lot of a few holdouts, and That's what I want to talk about next with these with NFL holdouts. Aaron Donald is the latest to hold out. Aaron Donald arguably is the best defensive player in football. He's just a dominant player. 27 years old, defensive tackle for the Rams, is under contract through this year and will hit free agency next year. But the Rams have the ability to franchise him. To franchise him. And, the NFL, I'm looking at the NFL system, looking at the franchise tag system, collective bargaining, the CBA collective bargaining agreement, which won't be up to 2020. And I just had to say to myself, the Players Association has absolutely failed these players. To me, if I'm in that room, and if I'm a player, okay, I'm saying one of two things has to happen. Either you have to eliminate franchise tags, okay, which will allow players to become free agents quicker at a younger age, or we have to get 60% of the revenue. Something has to get. We have to give one of those things, because it, these players, the franchise tag has got these players in handcuffs. Players don't literally become free agents until they hit, late 20s, late 20s, even early 30s. Legitimate free agents without the franchise tag. So a team could choose. So the Rams could choose to franchise Aaron Donald after this season at 28, 29, and he won't get franchised three times because that'll just cost too much money. It's a salary cap. He might not reach total free agency until he's 30 years old or 29, 30 years old. I wonder, when will it get to a point where players in the NFL have the kind of flexibility to sign short contracts to be able to hit free agency sooner. Again, that's something that, again, these that is something that the NFL Players Association should be thinking about. That's something that the players should be approaching the NFL Players Association about. Shorter contracts, franchise tags, or not having franchise tags. And the overall revenue sharing. If they're not talking about all three of those things, or not at least two out of three of those things, then Players Association has frankly no purpose. I don't want to hear about retirement benefits. I don't want to hear even listen. All due respect to the CTE thing, they should take care of those guys. But if I'm a player right now, I'm in the league right now. Talk to me about those three areas. Because one of those three areas needs to happen, or we just need to go, we just need to strike. It's just that, I mean, it's really just that simple. How many years are you going to allow a system to abuse you, to take advantage of you without some type of fight? You can think about yourselves, think about the next generation of players. Again, one of the reasons why people don't like the NBA, you hear, even despite the ratings and despite finals ratings and things like that at an all-time high, or despite the popularity of basketball globally at an all-time high, one of the things people don't like about the NBA and what's going on in the NBA right now is the power that the players have. That bothers a lot of people. Bothers a lot of people. They don't like players speaking out. They don't like players, NBA players, negotiating the short contracts. Owners can't stand it. Fans are there are some fans out there who don't like it. NFL needs to step up. The play NFL players. I'm not expecting anything out of owners. I'm not expecting anything out of Roger Goodell. I'm not talking about quote unquote the company, the Shield. I don't give a damn about the Shield. I'm talking about the Players Association. Because again, a holdout serves no purpose unless you just don't want to practice in 100-degree heat. Really, I mean, Aaron Donald, you can hold out all you want. You at some point, you're going to have to play for the, I think he's getting like 6.8 million, 7 million. Again, Aaron Donald has outplayed his contract. Period. He's outplayed his contract by not even close. He's been an all-pro his whole career. Defensive player of the year last year. He's a guy that should be one of the highest paid defensive players, one of the highest paid players in football. Definitely one of the highest paid defensive players in football. So if I'm, you're the Players Association, you're the players, I'm putting pressure on the Players Association to get some stuff done. Or I'm just we'll just vote you out. If we don't feel like you're gonna get the job done, we will vote you out and get guys who are not afraid of the NFL, who are gonna go tit for tat with the owners, who are gonna tit for tat with Roger Goodell. So I don't know how much these players can continue to take. Without just revolting against the system. I don't. I understand bills got to be paid. Guys have families. But at a certain point, you got to stand up. You got to take a stand at a certain point. At some point, the physical wear and tear, the CTE, the punishment that these guys go through, deal with. Again, they chose the sport. They chose the sport. But I really think, the play I don't th I think the players underestimate how much power they really have. They really could shut down a league if they wanted to. But who's willing to take that sacrifice? Who's willing to stand up for what? Who's willing to be Kaepernick? Who's willing to be Kaepernick? So we'll see what happens with that in regards to, again, the CBA is right around the corner, 2020. Again, if you are an NFL player, one of those three things has to happen or we're striking. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. One guy who soon won't have to worry about money in regards to getting paid because he's going to get. He will be when he reaches free agency. He will be the first, in my opinion, $400 million man. That's Mike Trout. Listen, Mike Trout has all time great talent. Okay, he's putting up historical numbers for his first, 5 or 6 years in the league. Age just turned 27. We know, but clearly, but. Easily the best player in baseball. Really, clearly, I think Machado's second, but no debate, the best player in baseball. The problem is every other week, every other day, I feel like I'm reading a article or let's see an article on how great Mike Trout is. And again, he's a Jersey product, so I was born in Jersey. I respect him. He's a Jersey product. Handles himself with class. Plays every day. All around player. Does everything you would want in a baseball player, as far as his production and what he does. Nose clean. Don't have to worry about any nonsense with him. The problem is, it's not like we haven't seen the likes of a Mike Trout before. Okay. I watched Alex Rodriguez at 20 years old win a batting title, hit 36 home runs, have 123 RBIs. I watched Albert Pujols as a rookie, 130 RBIs. Seen this movie before, man. I've seen like Ken Griffey Jr., Manny Ramirez, who is not defensively can't compare to Trout, but offensively, go look at some of those Manny Ramirez years. Before the age of 27, Miguel Cabrera. I mean, people have short memories in today's time, in 2018. Again, this is nothing against Mike Trout. There's no, it's not even so much about Mike Trout. It's about a couple things. It's about the media seemingly trying to do the job that baseball should be doing, and that is promoting their best player. And baseball has done an awful job of promoting their star players. Period. They've done an awful job of that, of marketing their players. NFL players have a tough time making money in terms of endorsements because nobody sees them. They have helmets on. Baseball players, and nobody does a better job than the NBA. It's not even close. I don't even count soccer as a major in terms of the four major sports, but soccer is spectacular as well. Even tennis, with if you reach a certain level, Federer, Nadal, those guys are getting tons of endorsements, in particular Federer. But baseball, what's the excuse for baseball when guys wear helmets, but you can see their faces? They play every single day. Okay. They have great teams, have great television contracts. So you see teams on, there are a million games on. I don't know what the excuse for baseball not to be able to effectively market their players. So now you have the media who has to feel like they have to compensate that by pushing Mike Trout down our throats every other day. Trout, did you see that catch by Trout? Did you see him, leg out that, get to first base, leg out that single? You see how, did you hear the sound when the ball cracked, hit his bat? Like, it's, again, Mike Trout is a all-time great talent. There's no question about that. It's not about Mike Trout's ability to play baseball. I would never question that. But again, it's about two things. I've seen this before. I've seen all-time greats come up before. It's not like I've never seen a player like Mike Trout, because I have. And this is about baseball not doing their jobs to promote not only Mike Trout, but other superstar players. And again, baseball, similar to the NBA, baseball has become the ultimate young man sport. There's more young talent in baseball than maybe, I mean, it's right there with the NBA in terms of how much young talent is in baseball. Just look at the American League shortstops. Okay, look at the American League shortstops. So it's not like there's a lack of talent. Again, I don't know what the solution is in terms of marketing. I think with baseball, I've been talking a lot about baseball as far as them not changing, trying to speed up the game. I don't think that's the answer. But there's clearly, young people just don't. Baseball is just not resonating with, with a 35 and under crowd. It's just not. Baseball is for, 40 and over, basically. I'm approaching 40, so there you go. So how are we feeling about power, realistically? How are we feeling, episode six episodes in? Everybody seems to have issues, major issues, with the exception of Kanan. Kanan is just like, King Midas. Like, he just can't do it. Every move he makes is just to his advantage, it seems like. So, yeah, he's getting all the breaks. A lot of people are down on this season. Here's what I'll say. Again, I watch every episode. I've been a Power fan since season one, so I'm a loyal Power fan. A lot of people that were on the series season two, season three, I was on season one, so I'm a different type of Power fan. I take the show for what it is, as far as, guilty pleasure television. I think there's a conflict with stars Courtney Kemp and 50 Cent. In particular, 50 Cent and Courtney Kemp. I think Courtney Kemp, and from interviews that I've heard her, and read about, I think Courtney Kemp ideally wanted just 5 seasons. I think Courtney Kemp wanted 5 seasons. 50 Cent wants 7. Stars says, we're going to give you 6 and see what happens after that. So you have 3 people, 3 different entities on 3 different, basically on 3 different pages. Courtney wants 5. Stars is giving them 6. 50 Cent has talked about it going 7. Because they're right now, there's so many different storylines that, you know, it's hard for, you know, for most fans, it's hard to keep up. Now, not like Game of Thrones. Like, if you watch Game of Thrones, you can keep up with anything. Game of Thrones has more characters than any show in the history of television. But it's not even about the characters. It's about not power in terms of the characters. It's about how many storylines that they have this season. A lot of people have been complaining about that. I don't have a major problem with it, but I could see the conflict that lies with Stars, Courtney Kemp, and 50 Cent. I think that is a big part of it. But even with that said, I like the development. I like what they're doing with Tyreek. You know, y'all keep banging on Tyreek. I'm like, listen, the dude's a son of two drug kingpins. I mean, Tasha is a ride or die, you know, it's ride or die too. I don't care about how she's trying to get out. Tasha slice your throat if he has to. So he's a son of 2 drug dealers. What do you expect? Uncle drug dealer. I mean, realistically, what are we talking about? But I think for the show to be successful moving forward, for me to completely take the show serious, moving to season 6, somebody major has to go. Tommy, Angela. I'm not even talking about 50 Cent. I ain't talking about 50 Cent. I'm talking about Tommy and Ghost is not going anywhere. We know Omari Hardwick will be in every episode. He's Tony Soprano. He's like the Tony Soprano of this show. He's not, everything centers around him. But I'm talking to Tommy, Angela, or Angela in particular. One of those 2 characters has to go. In particular, Tommy. I think it would make more sense if Angela got fired. Tommy has to go. I think at this point in the series that it's only so much Ghost versus Tommy you could do and infighting from that standpoint. I don't know how many different directions that they can go with his character. It seems like this Teresi thing with the Italians is going to blow up in his face. And Tommy's my favorite character. I love the Tommy character. My two favorite characters on the show are Tommy and Kanan. Those are my 2 favorite characters. Apologies for the background noise, but, you know, my apartment is my studio. So we'll see what happens with Power. Just 4 episodes. These last 2 episodes have been setup episodes, so I expect a lot of fireworks in the next 4 episodes. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. As always, thanks for listening. I'm out.